And it seems to just keep growing week after week after week. But we're so glad that you're able to be with us. And we need to give God the praise for that. For he is the Almighty and the great I Am. As always, I'd like to encourage you to please open up your Bibles. Follow along with me. Now, I've done something in the past 2 or 3 weeks now that I normally don't do. I've been keeping Scripture pretty much all in the PowerPoint slides. There's pros and cons to that, I know, but I still have the Scriptures in the slides today as well. But nonetheless, you need to see the Word for yourself. Read it for yourself and let that Word talk to you, because that's what the Spirit does inside you. It guides you the way according to God's Word. So, with that said and done here this morning, we're going to begin as soon as I get my stuff out of my way. First off, we're going to talk next few minutes here this morning about free to think as you should. Each and every one of us has that ability to freely think in the way that we should. And that's where the rub kind of comes in, that last word, should. You know, if we started off in the adult class this morning talking about God's very own people, the nation of Israel, how they really didn't want to hear God's word as the prophet Isaiah was given to them. But God made us free will beings, didn't he? That we can think good, we can think bad. Now, I don't like me to talk about Zig Ziglar because he always uses the phrases stinking thinking. Oh, that drives Diane up the wall when I say that. But that's what it is sometimes, isn't it? So, as we continue, our thoughts show who we are. We see that in justice systems. Recent times this week, we hear that on various commentaries in the news and things of that. Our thoughts shows who we are, what position we take in the stand. We are basically, as human beings, we are action readers more so than maybe hearers, if you stop and think about it. You know, actions does speak much louder than words. If we could read the minds of other people, we wouldn't have to worry about what they're thinking. We would know how would be the best way in which we can communicate and deal with those people. But since we do not have that ability, we can only know what they think or how they externalize their thoughts in words and in action. So, life becomes rather torturous when one begins to present himself in a way that is very contrary to his beliefs. In other words, you're like an actor. You are actually being two-faced. James calls such a one as being one that is unstable, as he tells us there in James 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And he really is, or she. Okay. So, our thoughts show who we are. The God-controlled mind. Let's take a look at that. Because that's where we should be at. God should be in control of our thoughts, of our minds. And as we see, when a sinner believes in Christ, oh yes, the heart is not only purified, but there's so much more than that. We actually see something happens to his thought process as well. You don't think like you used to when you was out running with the world. He ceases to be a free thinker. We cease to be a free thinker Be careful here. And we begin to think like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that's conversion. That is a conviction. Truth is known. So, as we see in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. No, he doesn't. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't you wish the world over, would read God's word and follow that? Wouldn't it make it quite a, it would be a blessing, wouldn't it? We wouldn't have all this heartache and drama and things going on. So, our thoughts show who we are. Paul informs the Philippians here that this is not a passive process, however. It's not something that you just say, okay, I'm not really going to do anything with it. I now have a better feeling in my heart. I took the Lord on, put him on, and that's good. I just feel good inside. But not, Paul doesn't say it's that way. It's not passive. It is something very active. As we see in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, he says, which was also in Christ Jesus. Excuse me. Let's face it, brother. Our Lord and Savior, he was not a very passive person, was he? He didn't sit back and just let things go the way they go. And we should not be that way. We can determine who or what is controlling our thoughts, can't we? Oh, yeah, the Bears play at what, 2 o'clock today? Right? I don't know what time, I guess. But we control our thoughts, don't we? And the greatest possession in life is not money or worldly goods, but it's a freedom to think as you please. And that is a great liberty, isn't it? Great freedom to have. But how does your thinking please you? Is it of the world? Or is it of the Christ, our Savior? So, not noticed in the recording, I say some too much, I'm sorry. It is our duty to practice humility. Humility. You know, what always comes after pride? A fall, doesn't it? God tells us that. Each and every time when you begin to get puffed up and think you're so good and so wonderful, watch out. You're going to fall. We are to be a humble people. So, although Jesus had always been in the form of God, he gave up his glory in paradise to accomplish the purpose of his incarnation. In John 10, verse 30, I and my Father were one. God is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're one. We also see there in Philippians 2 and 6, who, talking about Jesus here, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Yes? Jesus was a very humble person. Even though he was God, he came upon this low land, sin, sickness, and sorrow with great humility. We also see in Philippians 7, but made himself of no reputation. Not like mankind today. We have to build ourselves a name. We have to build our reputation. We got to do great and mighty things. Jesus just came and served his Father. But made himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. And that's what we need to be more of, being servants one to another and to our neighbors and to our co-workers and being servants, and was made in likeness of men. Jesus gave us the example which to follow. There's no excuse for us not understanding how we should conduct ourselves, and most importantly, how we think our thoughts should go. Also, it is our duty to practice humility. We must purposefully choose a degrading death for us. He, Jesus, purposely chose that. Can you imagine God himself taking up on his fleshly form and willingly chose to give that in a life of being ridiculed and spit upon and beaten and rejected and denied? But he did that. He did that for us. We need to be likewise, don't we? I know life is tough sometimes, especially younger people with all the peer pressure that goes on sometimes. Gets to you, doesn't it? But remember our Lord and Savior. He remained humble. In Philippians 2 and verse 8, Paul tells us here, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. In other words, his whole life, he was obedient until death. He didn't get tired and give up halfway through the battle. Until death. And that's what we must do. Be humble enough to accept the crosses we have to bear until death. And became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. You know, he didn't have to die that way. He had full control, but he gave it. He gave his life that way. Because of this, God exalted him. Always remember that. God will exalt you and I. If we are but humble servants unto him and obey him unto them, not just when things are getting rough, we go running to him. Also, we see in Philippians 2 and verse 9, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. And you know, brethren, after the day of judgment, I hope and pray that you too, and we all will be exalted in that day, and give him a name which is above every name. Yes, we must be mindful to always, in all situations, in all events, in all various occasions we may participate in, to be a humble people, recognizing who and what we are. We are the servants unto the Almighty, and that should humble us. As we see, his future role was secured by his present obedience, wasn't it? So, we too. We must confess his name above all names towards men. We talked about in adult class again this morning how vital it is that God has given us this thing here, the Word. God has provided this Word, and that Word is what? It's that seed that needs to be planted in the ground. And you know what? You ever see a seed grow that wasn't planted in the ground? I've not seen one grow. I guess they do have those little air things nowadays or something like that. But the typical seed that you put in the ground, it doesn't do a thing until it's planted. And we need to be doing that, you know. That's so very important. But anyway, let's move on. In Philippians 2, 10, 12. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And we will, brethren, each and every one on that great day of judgment, we will be standing there, bowing before the Almighty. The things in heaven, and the things in the earth, and the things that are under the earth. All will be there. That, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Yes, you will confess that one day when you stand there and you're before the Almighty. You will then, and for sure, recognize to the glory of God and the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, can you imagine Jesus going through all that he did? That couldn't have been easy, you know? Being God, being there as the very creator at the beginning of time, to see and be treated as he was. That's pitiful. But it's important. Just as Jesus provided us a way of salvation, it took work on his part. We too must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So, do all things without murmuring. Uh-oh, John. I don't like to hear that. But you know, it's an easy thing to get into today, isn't it? Get on that little pity pot and say, whoa, it's me. Oh, I had it so much better back then, you know. Well, be careful. In Philippians 2, 13 through 16, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You know, and we don't oftentimes know what the Lord has planned for us, do we? You know, it's amazing how things in life come about sometimes totally unexpected. And you don't know why sometimes. You don't understand sometimes. Well, God's got plans for you. And we don't always know and understand that. But it is imperative that we recognize and we understand that we should go forth, continue to do the work of the Lord to the very best of our ability, and each time and each opportunity we have, and do so without grumbling about it. Just keep on keeping on. Being that faithful servant unto him. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Children, okay? And also, that ye may be blameless and harmless and sons of God without rebuke. Yes, you are a child of God as being Christian in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we are to what? Shine as lights in the world. I just wonder sometimes how people see me. Do they see me as a light, or is it just a blob in front, or maybe it's just the darkness? It's important that people see our actions and our attitudes so much quicker than oftentimes the words that we say. We need to be careful with the words, don't get me wrong. But just as important, we need to watch our conduct as well. Holding forth the word of life, that's the key. This is the word of life, God's word. Word of life, life eternal. that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And that day when we stand before the Lord and Savior in judgment, that hopefully we have run a good race. Paul says that I have not run a race in vain, neither labored in vain. Well, we oftentimes think about salvation being a race where you have to train for it, and you go through life running this race of life. But notice the other word in there, labor. It is a work, being a Christian. We must labor. Paul says, I hope and pray I have not labored in vain. And that's so important as we consider. We need to do all things without grumbling, disputing, fussing about it all the time. Say, Lord, send me. Anyway, rejoice in the Lord. In Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But what things were gained to me, Paul says, those I have counted loss for Christ. All the things that he had gained, he counts them to be lost to Christ, for Christ. Ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Yes, we should devote all things back to his word, to the knowledge of his word. And do not count them but done, that I may win Christ. Yes, we need to recognize our thoughts. How we think is so important. It impacts not only you, but it impacts all those that are around you. In verse 9, and be found in him. You know, I can't think of any greater expression of, I'm lost of words. But to have someone say, hey, Paul, you're a Christian, aren't you? For a stranger to, or someone that I know very little of, to recognize that I have the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that I'm a believer. To know that I'm a Christian. There's no greater remark one can receive than that. Be found in him. But be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Yes, there is a transition. A great metamorphosis takes place when one becomes a Christian. And it goes far beyond just physical transformation. It goes into your mental transformation as well. And if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Yes, we must have the thought of achieving until death a life that brings honor and glory and reverence unto the Almighty, and that others will read and see, and our lives are conformed to that mannerism that a Christian, a follower of Christ, is to have. So, there I go again. Do you practice thinking as you should? Stop and think about that a minute. True. Do you stop and think the way you should? Or do we allow this world to kind of influence our thoughts? Who directs your thinking? You have the will and the means. I don't know if you have the will, but you have the means of controlling. how you're thinking. It's up to you. As I said this morning, and each time I get up here, I hope and pray that you take the time, look into God's Word for yourself, and understand what He wants of you. And once you have that understanding, to follow through with it, to be that one that will be righteous in that day of judgment. Are you going to be perfect? No. No one's perfect. And the only one was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you can strive to do your very best in word, in thought, and in deed. Be the person that God wants you to be. If you've not put Christ on in baptism, I'd like to encourage you to do so. While there's still time and opportunity. We have a beautiful day going out there, the sun is shining. But we're not promised, even this afternoon. And if you have obeyed, put Christ on in baptism, how's your thought process been? Has it been the way it should? Being thoughtful, being humble, thoughtful of being a servant, thoughtful of being a faithful Christian until death. If you've kind of gone away from the Lord, I'd like to encourage you to come back. All you have to do is come to Him. If there's anyone here this morning has a need, we'd be happy to pray for you, pray with you, if you would. Please come forward while together we stand and sing.